Luke chapter 16, starting in verse number 19. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I pray that you'll fill me with your Spirit here this morning. I pray you'll use me. I pray you'll guide me, direct me, and give me clarity of thoughts here as we look on your Word and we discuss here and look at hell. And hell is a real place, and you came and died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day so we wouldn't have to go to that place. And you give us the warning here in your Word. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with us now. Guide, lead, and direct in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, hell is a real place. Regardless of what you think or what you've been taught or what you feel, hell is a real place. And there are souls going there every second of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. Right now, as we speak, there are millions and millions of people screaming in the pits of hell as we gather here in an air-conditioning church. Every one of them will still be in hell tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 100 years from now. There is nothing that will bring about an escape for them. They are trapped. Their residency is permanent. It is eternal. I'm telling you this, hell is a real place where there is real torment. There is eternal torment, and the pain is unquenchable. It is unquenchable. And the flames. Hell is a horrible, terrible place. Hell is a place of eternal separation from everything in this world. It is a place of eternal separation from God, who loves you and died for you for all of eternity. It is a separation from Him. And listen, hell is a place that wasn't even prepared for mankind. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, but all those people who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior will go there for all of eternity. You see, the very thought of hell is an awful thing. That must be why so many churches quit preaching on it. Nobody talks about hell anymore, right? Because it's an awful thing. But let me tell you this. There was a time when you and I did not exist. But there will never be a time when we do not exist again. We will be eternal in one place. In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." See, a judgment awaits all of us. It's coming. The only thing keeping us out of that judgment is one heartbeat. Heaven or hell awaits us one heartbeat. Now, as we read the account here, a lot of people want to say this is a parable, right? But Jesus does not call it a parable. Luke does not call it a parable. In every other parable, there was never a name given. It was a story. Here, he mentions the name, he mentions Lazarus, and he deals with him as though he is a real person. All right? But you see, most of what we know about hell, we've actually learned from Jesus Christ. You could say that Jesus was the greatest hellfire and brimstone preacher in the Bible. There's over 162 references of hell and eternal judgment in the New Testament, and at least 70 of these were spoken by the Lord Jesus. 70 at least were spoken by Him, and we might ask, why so much, Jesus? Well, let me tell you, He believed in the reality of hell. He knew hell existed. He knew it was real. I mean, who else but God would know that hell was real? And so why else would He come to this earth and take on flesh and die on the cross? Right? Because He wanted to warn you. He wants to warn you. He wants to warn all men. He does not want anybody to go there. You see, He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that's every person. And the very death of Jesus in of itself proves that there is a hell. It proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Listen, if there is no hell, if there's no hell that you and I need to be saved from, why would God send His Son to this earth and die a brutal death upon the cross of Calvary? Why? If there's no hell, listen, if there's no hell, then the cross of Calvary would be the biggest mistake, the biggest joke of all time, wouldn't it? If there is no hell, but let me tell you, I can tell you by God's Word that by the very spit upon the face of Jesus and by every hair that was ripped out of His beard and by every a scourge that ripped across His back and ripped out His flesh, and by every thorn that pierced His brow and blood flew down from His face, and the agony of His Father putting all of your sins and my sins on Jesus Christ that day, the agony of the Father having to do that, and then Jesus being on the cross saying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Why have You turned Your back on Me? Listen, if there is no hell, then why all of that? But that is just proof that there is a hell. You see, He died for you and I, for all mankind, so nobody would go to hell. And you see, as we read this account, we're going to look at some things about not taking God's Word seriously. Not taking God's Word seriously. You see, this rich man did not take God's Word seriously. But let me show you some things here today of what will happen if you do not take God's Word seriously. Number one, if you do not take God's Word seriously, you will die lost without Jesus Christ, and in hell you will lift up your eyes in torment, just like we read in the Bible. Here, look at verses 22 and 23 of Luke chapter 16. He says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." You see, there is a huge difference here between Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man is nameless. The rich man did not know God. He was unknown to God, and therefore he was nameless to God. And the same goes for all of those who die without the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich man is in hell, and he's still there today. He is still there today, and he is still in torment, and he still is suffering. He is still asking for one drop of water. You see, at the very moment his heart stopped, he went off into eternity. He died, he closed his eyes here, and he lifted his eyes up in hell. He was in torment. All the comfort he had here, all the pleasures, all the wealth, the fame, the fortune, everything that he had here was taken from him in a moment when he died. And he was immediately in hell. Listen, he's not in hell because he was rich. All right, get that. He's not in hell because he was rich. He's in hell because he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He rejected the salvation that God so freely offers. Listen, our soul, every soul is either going to be paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ or an eternity in the torment of hell in the lake of fire. Our Bible verse, 1 John 1:7, says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus died and shed blood, covers all of our sins. That's where our forgiveness is. You see, if you die without the forgiveness, if you die without the Lord Jesus, It's the greatest tragedies of all time. You see, he never intended for anybody to go there. But if you go there, the Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15, it says, "And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire that is eternal, that is forever. You will never get out if you do not have your name written in the book of life. The lake of fire awaits." And let me tell you, this isn't a make-believe story. This is not a make-believe story. This is a reality. This is truth. Every unsaved person right now, if you're here today and you're unsaved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never been born again. You've never turned to Him by faith, repented of your sins, asked Him to save you. If you've never done that, you are headed for the lake of fire this very day as if you're already there. The only thing that separates you from there is to come to salvation, get saved, get born again. You see, the rich man had everything. Just like many Americans today, we have everything we want. We don't ever have a need, true need, right? We have food, we have clothing, we have shelter. The rich man had everything, but it did him no good. When he died, all those things didn't go with him. He didn't have a U-Haul behind him, did he? No, he did not. All those things did him no good. Yeah, he was very wealthy here on earth. Very wealthy, very well-known, prestigious. But in hell, it did him no good. He could not buy his way out of hell. Many would say he was a fool. He was a fool. But he wasn't a fool because he made a bad business venture. Right? Maybe we bought stocks or we've invested or saved here or done this. We've made a bad business venture with some money. But that's not what we're talking about here. This guy is a fool because he rejected the love of God. In 1 John 4:9-10 says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." And verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You see, what that means is He loved us and He proved it by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. He literally died in your place and my place. He literally died in our place. He literally died with my sin upon Him. He died, and that's what we talk about when God loves you. That He sent His Son to die for you. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's all through what Jesus did. Eternity is not about wealth. Eternity is not about collecting things or getting things. Eternity, it boils down to this. What did you do with Jesus Christ? What did you do with Jesus Christ? But you say, "Preacher, I've got a good job. I make a lot of money. I've got a new boat. I've got a new car. I've got a new truck. All my bills are paid. I have all these things." Yeah, but when you die, what good will they do you? What have you done with Jesus Christ? Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good." And Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." You see, eventually we're all going to die. We are all going to take our last breath one day. And we read this account of this rich man, and we can say he was a fool because he worked and he gained and he got rich and he had things, but he died without the most important thing in this life. He died without Jesus Christ. You see, he was too busy living life. He was too busy living life. And have you ever talked with somebody? I talked with somebody last week and asked them. Talk to them. "Yeah, you go to church? Hey, you know you're going to heaven? Hey, do you know Jesus?" Answers a lot of times, "No, I just work a lot. And I do this and I do that. And I do all these other things that occupy all my time. I never give eternity one thought. I never think about what happens if I leave this world." You know why? Because, I'm young now, and I'm not going to die until I'm really old, right? No. There's no guarantee. We're not guaranteed another moment. We're not guaranteed another second. You know, the old heart can stop ticking any moment. We're not guaranteed any time. You see, this guy, this rich man, he died unprepared. And the Bible says in verse 23 there, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Let me tell you, he wasn't in purgatory. He wasn't reincarnated. He wasn't annihilated. Death was not the end. Death is not the end for any of us either. Reincarnation is not the end. You've got a whole group of false religions out there who teach a reincarnation. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. And look at verse 24 there. The Bible says, and he cried. I think that's sad. And he cried. All those things he spent a whole lifetime. A whole lifetime acquiring all these things. He had all this money. He was probably well known. But the Bible says he died and went to hell. And he says here, and he cried. What a wasted life. What a wasted life. To give a life of things and money. He says here, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He's crying out for mercy. Have mercy on me. Remember, mercy is not getting what we deserve. He didn't ask for justice here. He knew he was getting what he deserved. He cried out for mercy. Now, when I see that, it tells me a couple things. First of all, it tells me that there's no mercy in hell. There's no mercy in hell. You're getting exactly what you deserve in hell. And it also tells me here that there is torture in hell. There is pain in hell. There is suffering in hell. And the list goes on to all of those that are in hell. You see, the rich man was burning in hell, in the torments of hell, in the pain and the flame, and he begs God for mercy. Have mercy upon me. Hey, if I can't be freed from this flame, from this misery, can I just get one drip of water? Just one drip of water. Put it on Lazarus' finger, and just one drip of water on his finger, and just touch my tongue. Just touch my tongue to get relief from this pain and this heat. Just one drop of water. I am tormented in this flame. Listen, there's no water in hell. There's no water in the pits of hell, in the torments of hell. There is no water there. And amongst everything else, the Bible says there is a great gulf fixed. So once you go there, you can't leave there. Like Abraham says here, nobody can come to you, and you can't go to Lazarus to get water. It's not happening. No way of escaping that place. We read it and we say, man, how could anyone ignore such a place? How could anyone live a life and ignore the very fact that one day we all will take our last breath? And is hell the place where I will spend eternity? And what do I have to do to not go to this place? You see, every lost person, lost without Christ, will someday end up in hell for all of eternity. The Bible says in John 3:18, listen, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, you can be born into this world, you can be a nice person, you can be a good person, you can just live life and give to the poor and give to the needy, and you can even come to church, you can even tithe, you can even drive a school bus, you can do all these things, and you can still end up dying and going to hell because you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. That very word, believeth there, means to place your faith, to place your trust in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, it's all only a gift of God. It's a gift. It's a free gift. But what have you done with that gift? Again, 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So what is it? What's your choice? The Bible says repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Here's the thing. Jesus already paid the penalty. He already paid the penalty. So if you die lost and you end up in this place, it's a tragic life. It's a tragedy amongst all tragedies. Because why? The sin debt has already been paid. All you have to do is receive the free gift in John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. You see, He already paid the debt. He died on the cross, shed His blood, He was buried. He rose again the third day. And the Bible says that if you trust Him, if you believe on Him, put your faith in Him, He'll save you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, for 38 years, I had a lot of knowledge up here. But if I would have died in any of those days, I would have died and lifted up my eyes and have been in torments of hell. At 38 years old, I believed. I trusted. It changed from a head knowledge to a trust in my heart. A trust. Put my faith in trust. I wasn't going to get to heaven on my own good works. Wasn't going to happen. He paid it all. There was a young man who lived a wild, wicked lifestyle. And he was getting ready to go out one day. And his mom, there, by his keys and everything, by the counter. And his mom put a gospel track out there under his keys. And he's getting ready to leave. And he walked over there and he saw the gospel track and he got really mad. He got mad and angry at his mom and he ripped it up. He said, "You gave me a track. Somebody else gave me a track at work today. And, you know, I just can't wait to go somewhere where nobody will give me a track anymore." He says, "Where can I go where nobody will give me a track?" And his mom sadly looked at him and said, "Son, in hell, nobody will give you a track anymore." You see, you will remember every track you got. You will remember every time you went to church. You will remember everybody that invited you to church. You remember every time you drove by a church and you saw the steeple of the church and God was warning you. Every time you saw a cross, hey, you will remember all of those things. You see, you can't get relief in hell. Now, I can go to the refrigerator and I can push it and I can get cold water. As much as I want. You too, right? I can get ice and cold water, but in hell there'll be no relief. There will be no relief. So listen, you must take God's word seriously and not end up in hell. But number two, you must take God's word seriously or you will live a life of sin. You will live a life of sin. In 1 John 3:4, the Bible tells us what sin is. It says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is breaking God's law. Breaking God's law, all of it. Not just 10 Commandments, all of it. The whole Bible. You see, we've all sinned. We're all sinners because of Adam. So if we want to get mad at somebody, when we get to heaven, we can get mad at Adam. My Bible says, "Wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." James 1:14-15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And get this in verse 15. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Every time. Sin brings death every time. It can't be escaped. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you do not take God's word seriously, you will live a life of sin. And that sin will stop you from serving God. That sin will stop you from living from God. That sin will bring confusion and heartache. Listen, when a person drops out of church, it's usually because of sin. When a family quits coming to church, it's usually because of sin. Every Christian that's sitting on the sideline, usually they're sitting on the sideline because of some sin. And that sin is going to eventually bring death. Now, I don't know if you remember, this has been quite a few years ago, but there was an article by National Geographic, and it had a picture of this 13-foot Burmese python down in Florida had swallowed a 6-foot alligator. It's been a few years, but the consequences were deadly, where the gator actually split the snake open from the inside out. And there were some pictures about that. But that's what sin does. We think it's good, we think it's fun, and we think, oh, this feels good, but sin literally destroys us from the inside out. You see, sin will take you further than you intended to go. It will keep you longer than you intended to stay, and it will cost you far more than you intended to pay. But sin always brings death. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want you to see this. When people say, oh, it's my sin, it doesn't affect anybody. It's only my sin. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. There is no sin unto yourself. Sin doesn't only affect yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 5, look at verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 5, there in verse number 9, says, Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, listen, upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Hey, listen, your sin doesn't only affect you. Our sin affects our children, our children's children, our children's children's children, to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. But then he says in verse 10, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So, hey, let me tell you this. The next time you tell God that you're going to live your life the way you want to, hey, the next time you tell God, hey, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want, you might say, hey, I would never do that. I'm going to never do that. But whenever you skip church because you don't want to come, you skip church because you were busy all week, you skip church because I just don't really think I want to go today, but when you skip church, you're telling God that I will live my life the way I choose. I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? When you don't bring your tithe and give it to God, you're saying, God, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. And when you fail to witness to others, hey, you're doing it again. You're saying it again. And when you get angry at another person, you harbor bitterness in your heart. When you refuse to pick up your Bible and read it, hey, God, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what I want. But let me tell you this. Anytime that you decide to do what you want, expect consequences. Expect consequences. God is not okay with that. He says, For I, the Lord thy God, am a what? A jealous God. I am a jealous God. Right? He will forgive our sins. The blood covers it. He will forgive us, but we got to do what? We got to confess it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, listen, if you're saved, you're born again, you'll never have to go to the pits of hell. You'll never be going to hell at all. But what you will do is stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and we will give an account of our life. In Romans 14:10 says, For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account. That's for all the saved. That's not for the judgment of lost or saved. No, this is for all the saved. We will be there giving an account of our lives. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of Christians there that just squeaked in. There are a lot of Christians there that just got in. No rewards, no crowns, just present. I don't know, maybe somebody here today saying, Well, that's all I want. I just want to barely get in. Just want to barely get into heaven. Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true because, you see, a real Christian wants to serve God. A real Christian wants to live for God. A real Christian wants to come to church. A real Christian wants to read their Bible. If your goal is just to get to heaven, then I think you've missed what the Bible talks about on salvation. The Bible says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Psalm 42:1, the Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." You see, that should be our desire. We should want to learn. We should want to study. We should want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sin will hinder that in our lives. Let me give you the last one here. If you don't take God's Word seriously, you will live a life not surrendered to God. So go back to Luke chapter 16 and look there starting in verse 27. Luke chapter 16, verse 27. So then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." He has five brothers. He wants to be a soul winner now. He's worried about their souls. He's worried about them. He goes on to tell them that, hey, they're not going to repent just because one comes from the dead. They got Moses. They got the prophets. We have the Word of God here today. We have the preachers. We have the Word of God telling you over and over. But hey, if you don't take God's Word seriously, you're going to live a life not surrendered to God. Unsurrendered in soul winning. That's what the rich man wanted to do now. He was worried about his five brothers who apparently were on the same track that he was. The rich man knew about repentance. He knew about repentance there in verse 30 at the end. He says, "But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." Interesting. He ended up in hell, but yet he knew the way to heaven. He knew the way to heaven, but he denied it. He wasn't surrendered to God. And many of us will be not be in heaven for 5 minutes. And we're going to be saying, "Why? Why didn't I do more? Why didn't I do more? Why didn't I do more?" You see, we all have the same command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. None of us are exempt. That's not just for the pastor. That's for every Christian. So if you're a Christian, that's the command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Unfortunately, many people today don't think that the gospel works anymore. They don't want to talk to people because they're afraid of being rejected, or they think it's just not going to work, or they're not going to listen anyway. But let me tell you, that is the wrong thinking. God doesn't say go because you're going to get results. He just said go, right? We don't have to give an account for the success. We have to give an account for going. Now, Jeremiah didn't have much success. We can read through many examples, many of people's lives who were missionaries that didn't have much success, but they went. That's what we have to give an account for. We go because the Lord has told us to go. Hey, listen, this may be our last worship service. This may be the last gospel message you'll ever hear. But here's the good news. The good news this morning is that if you've never been born again, you do not have to go to this place of hell. The payment has already been done. Jesus Christ already died on the cross. He rose from the dead to pay your sins. And if you come to Him, put your faith in Him, He will save you. So if you choose to go to hell instead of coming to Jesus, you choose to go to a place that wasn't intended for you to go to. Matthew 25:41 tells us that that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Right before COVID started, that's when I started preaching, and we started going to a nursing home. And COVID shut the nursing home down, and so we weren't able to go back in. And so after COVID, we were able to get back in and start preaching again. And before COVID, there was a man by the name of Frank. And Frank would make fun of me and poke fun at me, and he wouldn't come to the service. After COVID, and we got back in there, I got to talk with Frank, and Frank's wife had recently passed away. And Frank started coming to the services. And he came, and boy, he became the most faithful person in my services. He was there before it started. He'd be the first one there, the last one to leave, and he would always want to help and do what he could to set up. And I would talk with Frank all the time, like, "Frank, you know you're going to heaven." And he wouldn't let me talk to him a whole lot about it. He'd just say, "I hope so. I'm a hoping so. You know, and that's as far, a lot of times that was as far as he let me go. He was just hoping so. But he came every Sunday to hear the preaching, and he was getting the gospel. And I remember I started going out preaching, and so we were gone for two Sundays, so I wasn't there. And I remember saying, I told my wife, I said, we need to get back in the nursing home. It's been a little while, missing the nursing home. I didn't know what was going on, or I felt that the Holy Spirit was leading in that way. But anyways, and so we were going to be out that Sunday, but then the next Sunday we went, and we were back in the nursing home, and had a good crowd, a good turnout, and preached a message. And after I got done preaching, he would always sit in the back here to my left, in the very back. And I got done preaching, and I prayed. And as I opened my eyes, Frank was walking between all the chairs that coming up to me. I didn't know what was going on. It was way out of his character. And so I step out, and I was like, Frank, are you okay? And he just gave me that look, and the Holy Spirit took over. He just took over. And I said, Frank, you know you're going to heaven when you die. He says, no, I don't know. I said, would you like to know? He said, yes, I'd like to know. I want to know. And so right there with a crowd of people there, I had my Bible open when we went through all the Bible verses. And I said, you believe? Do you believe? And he said, yes, I believe Jesus died for me. And he prayed right there and asked the Lord to save him. And we were so excited, you know, excited. That was the last day I saw Frank. He died Tuesday, and that was Sunday. He died Tuesday. He had a heart attack and a stroke combined, and it took his life. That was the last service he had. That was the last gospel message he heard. And only the Lord knows. Only the Lord knows. But if that's you here today, if that's you over the internet, call into the church. If that's you here today, don't leave without letting me or somebody go through the Bible and showing you how you can avoid this awful, awful place of hell. We do not want you to go there. Let's go ahead and close in prayer.